Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. I am really thrilled to be here tonight with mother of two, Hannah Basley, who is also a veterinary nurse and also training for the Summer Spine Challenger. And we're going to hear tonight about all about how on earth she fits that in. Because as a mum of one very tiny one, with, I'm told, no issues, although he is on a bite report at nursery. Oh dear. I'm really keen to get all Hannah's tips for how she's training for this 100 mile race. But first of all, welcome Hannah. How are you doing today?
Yeah, hi, thanks. I'm good. No work today, which has been good. So I've been frantically packing all my, sorting through all my kit for the weekend. So
yeah. Awesome. So the Spine Challenger is this weekend. And are you feeling ready?
I don't know. Do you ever feel ready for something like this? it's the biggest thing I've ever done. There's always that, you know, I'm hoping to finish it, but will I? So I do, yeah. I'm going into it with the mentality of thinking, you know, of all the parts I'm going to go through to get to the end, so.
Yeah, breaking it all down into chunks. Awesome. Yeah. Well, today we're going to be talking about your training for the Summer Spine Challenger, but I just thought we'd set the scene first of all by just asking you how you got into running in the first place, and in particular running on trails.
I started running years ago, pre-children, just did a couch to 5k, and then just did some local 5ks, some 10ks, and then I started getting into triathlons because I was worried that my weight was creeping up, so I thought I'd do something. So I got into triathlons and I got as far as just Olympic distance ones. I did a couple of those in the summer before I got pregnant with Megan, my youngest, so that was 2010. I never thought I'd be able to do anything like a marathon, because I always just used to feel that my legs would probably just get injured and I wouldn't manage. Post babies, I kind of got back into running again. Didn't do any proper triathlon, I don't think, but I was more into cycling at that point. So yeah, I did ride London a couple of times.
Oh, awesome.
And it was only really when I moved up here from Surrey, because I live in Derbyshire now, just south of Sheffield.
Lovely.
So the trails are brilliant. We've got the Peak District, we've also got local trails as well.
So jealous.
When I moved up from Surrey, I just gravitated to the trails, but more and more. So I got my first trail shoes up in Derbyshire.
So, and
they've just got longer and longer.
Yeah.
And slower and slower.
Like it. And what do you love best about trail running? What is it that keeps you like reaching for the running shoes rather than the bike?
I just love being out in the countryside. I just love it. I take so much I don't know, it's just so good for the soul when you like go out and you just see beautiful views and hills, and it's just great. I mean, I stop far too many times, take far too many photos.
I'm in the same club.
yeah, exactly. So it doesn't do your time any good. But then the thing about trail running, that doesn't matter. So.
Yeah, it's more important to enjoy it, isn't it? I mean, if you're not going to be Mo Farah, are you, or Paula Radcliffe? So may as well enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. And so what would you say would be your race highlights then? Like, what have you done over the years that you thought, oh my goodness, I never thought I'd be achieving that?
Yeah, well, as I say, I never used to think I'd do a marathon, but I did finally manage to do London Marathon last year.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, eventually, because I deferred, mm-hmm. and then the year that I would have then done it was then COVID. So I did the virtual one, but then I did the London one last year.
Brilliant.
Which was tough. I was trotting along feeling great, and it was just the classic last few miles. It just had to drag myself along.
Mm-hmm.
And there, yeah, you go from like embracing all the cheering to like mm-hmm. just head down, ignoring everyone, mm-hmm. hoping it doesn't shut up.
Yeah, like, sorry, I'm being rude.
Yeah, let this be over.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then, well, yeah, that was, so I actually did my first 50 miler before I actually did my first marathon, like official marathon. So I did the Lakeland 50 last year.
Yeah, that sounded brilliant. I've heard so many amazing things about that race.
Yeah, it was great. And I mean, it was full on. It was amazing running through the night. Well, I say running, right?
Stumbling.
yeah, hobbling along through the night, and then finishing in the morning. I mean, it's very hot. I did the whole thing in just a skirt and a t-shirt.
Wow.
The night. So.
Wow.
But it's loads of checkpoints. Loads of people about as well, because there's a lot more people than I realise that do it, especially the 50. So, and then you've got the 100s as well, so everyone's cheering them on as you kind of often go past.
Yeah.
they're struggling big time at that point.
Do they start earlier than you then, and you sort of catch them up and sweep them along a bit? Is that how they work?
Yeah, they start the evening before.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
so they start, I think it's 6 o'clock in the evening or something like that, and then we start at about 11:30, I think, or 11. So we start the next morning, the next day, sort of, late morning.
Yeah, so you gradually catch them up. Oh gosh, I bet they're like, oh god, who's this person running really fast next to me? It's like,
yeah, bless them. It was really hot last year as well. I felt sorry for them when they set off because it was baking.
Yeah.
And it was still hot, as I say, when the 50s set off. So it's just a case of managing and drinking and cooling yourself down every time you came to water.
But yeah.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah. So. And I've heard that the checkpoints are like a little bit of a party atmosphere. Is that right?
Yeah, they're great. There's one that's like almost like a runway as you approach it.
Wow.
Lights.
Cool.
Down in in Langdale Valley. So that's good fun. I only sat down at one. I was very good. I didn't. So
wow,
that was the last one with just the last bit to go. So
yeah. Oh, brilliant! And I want to ask you about your training for the 50 and the training for this Spine Challenge 100 miler as well, because I just you were just telling me some things about your kids before we started, and I just wondered how you've. Well, like, what are you doing training-wise, but how on earth do you then fit that in? Do you want to tell us what you did, how does it differ, training for the 50 and then training for the 100? Should we start with the training for the 50, in a nutshell, and how you fitted that in, and then how you've, fitted presumably even more training in?
Yeah, so the 50, I was actually very lucky last year because another podcast, Run to the Hills, had a competition. And I won coaching from Eddie Sutton as part of the prize. It was actually it was supposed to be John Kinniston was supposed to be involved as well, but obviously I think within a couple of weeks or so of finding out I'd won, he passed away sadly.
It was really sad, wasn't it? Last January it was.
So that was, I think we were due to actually have a Zoom call for their channel. I think literally like a day after he went into, like, he got taken ill and went into hospital. So
yeah,
that was really, really sad. But yeah, I had the coaching for that, and Eddie was brilliant because she's got kids.
She's got five kids.
Is it five? I thought
yeah.
it was three, but
was it five? Oh, I heard it was five. I may have endowed her with two more children. I thought it was five. But three makes much more sense.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, she knows that you're going to have, you know, you've got kids, so you're going to have to try and battle your way through the training and jiggle things around to suit your life.
Really. Yeah.
And she's aware of that. So that was good. And that was really useful. And I've been able to dip back into, like, what training I did for that to help me with this one as well.
Yeah.
For this one, I've had just more days out hiking with a big pack, really.
Yeah.
So it's, I've sort of long days out in the hills, like, sort of, well, relatively long. I've not done as much as I'd hoped, just because of the time.
Yeah.
So I had thought it might be nice to do, like, one or two days of doing more back-to-back stuff.
Yeah.
But I wasn't able to, because otherwise I'm just away from my family too much. Full on pack, which I think also as a mum helps, because I used to have, you know, I wore them strapped to my back when they were younger, even as old as like about 3 years old or so yeah, it doesn't really feel that alien to have a heavy pack on.
yeah definitely agree with that. So how old are they now, the children?
11 and 9.
Yeah. You just tell us a little bit about them and what they're like?
Yeah, well, Megan, she's the 11-year-old, so she's going to high school this September, so big changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's lovely. She's extremely loving. Typical, you know, preteen. Can be a bit angsty at times.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very much into how she looks and how she looks and stuff now. She's great. And my youngest, she's 9. She is lovely, but she's very hard-work.
Yeah.
So she's the one that's made it very tough the last year or so. Like, we've in the last sort of couple of years, we've had a diagnosis of her with autism and ADHD.
Mm.
And she's very much a what's called PDA, so pathological demand avoidance profile. So which is related, it's to do with autism, so it's part of her being autistic. She likes, well, it's like demand avoidance. She wants everything to be just so for her, just to make her, like, lower her anxiety levels.
Mm.
So even just things like, can't just say get dressed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to try and word it differently, or sometimes I'll do a competition. Best if you can get this by the time I run up and get my pajamas, or so her anxiety levels are very, very high. And the result has been that she got permanently excluded from school last year.
Oh no!
So that's been really hard.
Yeah.
And until then, she was only part time as well. So
yeah.
We have got a place at a specialist school that she'll be due to start in September.
Yeah.
So that'll
That's
be right
good.
Up the street.
Yeah. So how have you even, like, managed that with her at home? Like, how have you done your job, and, like, or do you get childcare? Like, how does it work?
Well, my husband works shifts, which mm-hmm. helps. So he's in the police, so he works shifts. I've had to jiggle around my hours. I'm fortunate enough that I'm in a big team, so there's been enough capacity that I've been able to, you know, sort of adjust them to a point. But it is very hard. Like, most of my running, I fit in before I get up early. I start work at 8, but I get a lot of my midweek running in before work.
Yeah.
So I drive to work, run from work, and then have a shower and then start work. So,
oh, right. So will you get there for like 7 or something? No, probably 6:30.
Earlier,
just time damage hour. Yeah,
filling up at about 6:30, and then there's been some days when I've done like a 7-mile run, so I have to get up even earlier for that. It's, and then obviously you're tired by the time it's bedtime.
Yeah,
it's yeah So it's just fitting it all in. And my husband's started training also for, he's got his London Marathon place this year. So trying to juggle his needs as well as what I need to do.
Yeah. So when you finish this Bind Challenger, like when, not if, will it be all like, will you have a rest for a bit and he'll do his bulk of his training then for a bit? Do you sort of tag team it a bit like that?
Yeah. I said I'm definitely going to ease off. There's one or two possibles that I might do later in the year. But I need to target something for next year, really, just to keep me going and give me another focus.
Yeah.
It's kept me sane. Like, yeah. Getting out in the hills, getting away from everything, and having this focus, this tunnel vision of this massive thing coming up. So
yeah, I suppose it forces you to take that time for you, doesn't it?
Yeah,
because otherwise it could so easily just slide, and then you'd be mental as well as everybody else, and you need to like hold it together for everything else to be okay for the kids and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like, in some ways you feel a bit selfish for going out and training, but then in other ways you know that if you don't go out training, you're not going to be the best parent you can be.
Yeah.
So, and the best, and the best wife you can be, and the best employee you can be. It's needed.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you bring back a better version of yourself, don't you, for that bit of self-care, they call it now, don't they? And like, just, yeah, it's not selfish, it's necessary, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's what I've had to really get into my husband's head as well, that he's got to, you know, he can't just, when he gets time, he can't just like go around cleaning, he has to actually get out.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I'd stop a husband from cleaning.
I can't complain. He's better at cleaning than I am.
Oh, what's his number? that sounds divine. A husband that would rather clean than go on a bike ride or a run. So what do you usually do per week then? Can you sort of give an idea of like, do you do like 3 runs a week or 4, or do you do any cross training and strength work? Like, take us through your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We want that much detail.
It does vary. Usually it'd be maybe 3 runs a week, maybe a long hike or a mixture of hiking and running, or sometimes a long run. And often some cross training as well. So my husband has got a cross trainer, and I've got my bike set up on a turbo. And also a bit of strength and conditioning. Not as much as I'd planned, really. it's just so difficult, like, because there's times as well when you start doing it and you're doing it with the kids around, and then they just butt in, and so yeah, it's been very difficult fitting that in. I know I should have done more, and there will be a point in the race when I'll be cursing myself for not done as much as I'd hoped.
Yeah, but if you've got limited time, you want to do the fun things, don't you? And probably if you're like doing stuff with kids, you're doing quite a lot of just like general manual core stuff, aren't you? Like,
yeah,
I'm sure loading the dishwasher counts.
Yeah, I'm on my feet a lot at work as well.
Yeah, it's not like you're sat in a chair just like doing this, just typing away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So occasionally lifting dogs and things like that, but yeah. I mean, yeah, and you know, every so often I've been trying to like do the washing up with on 1 foot.
Yeah, like just standing on 1 foot.
Doing
yeah,
my teeth on 1 foot, and then switching over when that leg gets a bit worn out.
Yeah, so. Or like a little like doing squats as well. So would your 9-year-old, would she be up for like doing more physical stuff with you? Like, could you ever take her to the park and like do running around things with her? Can you incorporate her in your training sometimes, or is that just impossible?
It's very difficult. She'll be very keen on the idea of going for a walk, and then the next day she'll suddenly be very anxious about the thought of it and just won't. We've actually got a name down for a puppy.
So
eventually I'll have a running buddy. And also the plan is it'll help get her out of the house as well.
Oh, that sounds good. She'll have like a buddy and someone to like make her feel safe.
So that it's going to sort of be a bit of an unofficial support dog for her, all being well.
That's awesome.
But my 11-year-old likes coming out running when we get the chance.
Oh, fantastic.
And they both did the what they call the Lakeland One, which is like a 1 mile race. And they loved it. And Megan has said that she wants to do things like the Lakeland 50 when she's grown up, when she grows up, and even like the Spine Challenger.
That's where, so cool.
Yeah, whereas the 9-year-old, she's like, how much was it? So you want to spend over £300 just so you can like not walk for days and be really tired. And I'm like, well, when you put it like that.
Yeah, that's quite like a grown up thing to think of for a 9-year-old. I don't think I even knew what money was when I was 9 properly. I was still at the stage where I'd give them 35, where I just didn't understand what change was. I thought if you gave someone less than the amount, they gave you that money back as well as the other way around. It took me a while to work out that as well.
I think like a lot of autistic kids, she's very good at maths. She's on it with money.
Yeah.
And she never forgets anything either. So if you promise her something, she will not forget. It's launched in there and come back to haunt you if you haven't carried out
the promise. she could do her accounting for you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I should have got her to sort out all my kit list.
Yeah, yeah. She could have weighed everything, you know, like I've written down all the weights of everything and added it all up. Yeah, maybe an activity for tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Have a minimum amount of calories as well.
Oh, so okay.
Should get her to add those up because she will just sit there and add up big numbers just like that.
Oh,
just,
wow. Cool. Yeah. That's amazing.
She's just a bit too smart, I think. That's the problem.
Yeah, too clever for her own good. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, you're not alone here because Kat Roberts has just messaged us and she said she's also a mum of two, and one is neurotypical and one has anxiety and autistic traits. So she's got a long commute as a deputy head in a specialist school supporting children with ASC/SEMH needs, which I'm guessing you know, but you can explain that to us. And she says ultras are when I relax. Do you identify with any of that?
Oh yes, yeah. I mean, the thing about this race is I can't finish too soon because I've got to come home.
Yeah, milk it.
It's my break.
Yeah.
It's my little mini holiday, if you can call it that. So it's definitely good to, and actually just having the kids is amazing as well. The Lakeland 50, when it got tough, there was one part last year where I just thought of the kids and how proud they'd be, and then I got felt all emotional about it.
Oh,
which is a lot of due to being very tired. But,
And so are they proud? Like, do they understand? Like, they're at an age where they understand what you're doing, and you show them photos and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the youngest. You don't really get much like that. You know, she never even says that she loves you, anything like that, which is really sad. Whereas, my oldest one, she'll be super proud, and she's really supportive. I've already WhatsApped her the open tracking link for the race.
Cool. Yeah.
So yeah, she'll be keeping up with that.
She'll be on it. Yeah. Oh, that's really cute. So you do stuff like that when you get to the tough parts in races. Is there anything else that you do, like any other mental preparation or, you know, really things that spur you on to complete amazing things like this?
I don't know, I'm hoping a bit of pigheadedness will just get me through. As I say, the 50, I always knew that barring disasters I should finish it. It's got a generous cut-off, it's 24 hours, and it's very well supported, you know, lots of checkpoints, whereas, as I say, this is going to be a whole reaching down into sort of unknown depths of resilience, I think, to get through it. You know, I suppose I just know that my feet and my legs are just going to be in a lot of pain. Other parts as well, I'm sure.
So what is the furthest you've ever run before, apart from the 50, coming into this 100 mile race? What's the furthest you've done in one go?
It'd be less than the 50.
So 50. Yeah. So you're jumping up. And so how has your training differed from the 50 to the 100 then?
Like I said, I think it's been mainly lots of days out hiking in the hills.
Yeah.
So going out, plotting routes in the Peak District, and just getting out, you know, getting some elevation in as well. And just going to parts of the Peak District I don't usually go to has been nice. There's a part, I can't remember what it's called now, it's over the other side of Buxton. Where you've got some really nice sections.
I went to Buxton on holiday last month, and it is beautiful around there, really lovely.
It's just like the other side of the Dark Peak, because obviously I'm the eastern side, so it's the more western part, which
like Shining Tor and Shuttling Slough.
I went up those,
Oh, amazing.
Looking,
I thought it was my door. I was like, doesn't Steve know I'm doing a live broadcast?
Persistent.
Deal with the baby, Steve.
Do it.
Oh, well, we won't keep you much longer. What weight do you think you'll be carrying on the back then for the Spine Challenger?
I don't know. I'm not actually.
Oh, you need to get your younger one on the measuring, like tonight. Get her on the scales and get it all sorted.
I did weigh my drop bag earlier just to make sure it wasn't close to the 20 kilo limit, and it's nowhere near. So I mean, as I say, I've practiced with lots of kit in my bag, including lots of bottles of water as well, and sometimes like some books, just to add the weight. So I think. It's probably not my. I think, you know, I've got used to carrying that kind of weight at least. And it feels comfortable. I don't feel it pressing down on my shoulders. And I've got a waist pack as well that I did a recce on a couple of weeks ago. So I can put my food.
Oh, so you're going to have both? I've seen a lot of runners do that actually, like a small backpack rather than a big one on the back, and a little waist pack. Do you find that works really well for you?
It is a big pack. And then it's just a Montane, I think officially a 3 litre, but you can fit loads of stuff in. So I put in all the, so I don't have to keep going into my pack. Because then I probably go into my pack and then get home. So I've got, I'm going to put food in there. So sandwiches, flapjacks, energy gels, and also things like my head torch, stuff for recharging.
So it's... All the that stuff you need really quickly.
So I've just fed it around.
A nose bag for a horse. You could always like have it round your neck. You just untie it, put it round your neck and just drop into it.
I mean, this just seems, that's the thing about running, isn't it? It's just, there's a ultra running. It's just a lot of eating involved. So I feel I fit in quite well in that.
Definitely.
That's the other thing. I plan to use a little bit more weight than what I have for the race, but... I do stress eat, so that's not being compatible really with weight loss.
I think if you're capable of running 50 miles and 100 miles or anywhere near that amount, then you're probably pretty fit and don't need to worry too much.
It's just gonna be a case of just one foot in front of the other, isn't it, really?
And just enjoying
it. It's exciting. I think I first came across a spine when Jasmine Paris won it. So I think I saw someone on my Facebook had shared a link about it. So I started watching it from the start of that race. And I've had a bit of a bee in my bonnet about it ever since, really. So.
Yeah, because it's a beautiful route, isn't it? Like through the Pennines. Absolutely stunning. So it starts in Edale. Where does the 100 finish then?
Hardraw, so just about a mile or so north of Hawes. I think it works out, I think it's about 110. There's a couple of small diversions as well. We'll see.
And continue.
So I've got until, so I start Saturday morning at 8 a.m. and I've got until Monday evening 8 p.m. So 60 hours. If you compare it to the Lakeland 100, that's about the same distance, and that's 40 hours cut off. That's probably more severe as well, based on what the 50 was.
So it's plenty of time. You can sleep a bit at checkpoints and things like that. Are you planning to do some sleeping?
I'll have to see, because there's only one proper checkpoint.
Okay.
It's about 46, roughly, miles in.
Yeah.
Hebden Bridge. So I'm going to see. A lot of people say it's sometimes a bit early in the race and sometimes a bit busy. So yeah. I'll see how I feel. Otherwise, it will have to be like just going slightly off the trail and having like little bivvies here and
yeah.
there.
Are you going to take a bivvy bag then with you?
Yeah, you have to. You have to. It's on the list.
Okay.
So, but I'm not sure if I'm going to take a sleeping bag and a sleeping mat. So I'll probably just.
Oh, oh, that's okay. We're nearly done anyway.
Yeah, they'll be in my drop bag. Anyway, yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. So you might be able to sleep on trail. And how are you with blisters? I just wanted to ask you that before you go.
Well, I don't know because I didn't get any on the Lakeland 50.
Uh-huh, amazing. Are you going to wear the same sort of shoe sock setup?
Yeah, I use the same ones. My feet were a bit tired, but I think some of the terrain is so rocky in places on the Lakeland 50, and they so but by like later in the day they're okay. But then yeah. just the soles just get really sore. But
yeah.
yeah, so I go with the same setup and just lots of lube for my feet.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've got Gingy toe socks and Scott Kinnebrew Ultras.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see how that goes.
Yeah.
Awesome. But you've got to have blister kit as well. You've got to have stuff to sort them out. So
yeah.
Done research on that, and I've been trying to look after my feet as well, especially this last week.
Yeah. Did you watch the Cape Wrath Ultra person who came, Nikki, who came on the live broadcast one time? She did a whole thing about blisters.
Yeah, you know what? I did watch it originally when it was on, and I keep meaning to go back to it. I might have left it a bit late really, but yeah, I remember some of the stuff, like just even things like when you're cutting the tape, actually cutting it curved
yeah.
ends, doesn't come off.
Yeah.
And I've got some of that, is it moleskin, the soft stuff. So I have remembered some of it.
Yeah.
And I've seen another video as well where like this guy talks about preparing your feet. So it's lots of making sure you haven't got any sort of hard skin and moisturising them.
Yeah.
In the rubber. So I've been filing away at my feet.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah.
And moisturising them. So yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully
awesome.
They'll be all right.
But yeah,
you just don't know. Crossed. I mean, I expect it's a long way. So.
Yeah, it's a long way, and it's uncharted territory, isn't it? And you know, anything can happen on the day. And yeah, I'll try and remember to link to that in the show notes in the film description as well below, in case anyone else wants some advice for blisters too. And if you want to rewatch it just before the race,
yes, that might be worth doing actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so what are your hopes for the race then? Just fine, I'll ask you what your hopes are and then how you're going to recover afterwards, and then I'll let you go.
Well, to finish really. Mm-hmm. I'd like to finish, and I don't want to end up with it being too tight in terms of the cutoffs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the last thing I want is that almost to feel the cutoffs like tapping me on the shoulder like come on.
Yeah, so, like yeah. being stressed. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't want to finish too close to 8 p.m. on the Monday, but yeah, the main target is to finish.
Yeah,
and ideally not, as I say, not being chased as it were.
Yeah. So if you finished a little bit early, then you got a chance to hang out until 8 p.m. on Monday. Because is all your family going to come meet you there? How are you going to get back after running and walking 100 miles?
Well, I've booked a room at the Hawes Youth Hostel.
Lovely.
And I've booked train tickets, but then there's like this massive train strike on Tuesday.
Oh no! What a shame. You'll have to go back on Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, my husband will be working Wednesday, so
yeah.
Yeah, we'll sort something out. Even if he has to like come up and drive up and get me or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll sort something out. I'm not.
Yeah.
That's not a priority.
No.
To get into the finish line.
Yeah.
Anything afterwards, we'll just muddle on through. So.
Yeah.
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 We'll
you can thumb a lift, can't you, down the M1 or something?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. It, yeah. I don't know quite what it'll be, but.
Yeah. You sound very chilled and relaxed about the whole thing. Is that just your? Do you just project that, or are you frantically paddling underneath, or are you just quite chilled anyway about things like this?
I suppose I'm fairly. I am fairly. I've got more and more children as I've got older, and I think, yeah, I just, I don't know. I mean, I am feeling the nerves a bit, and every night I'm having a little bit of spine related dream.
Spine tingles.
last night I dreamt about the co-op in, is it Garsdale? Yeah, so there's a co-op yeah. that I'm hoping to reach before it shuts.
Oh,
I don't know what's in there deciding what to eat.
Yeah, nice.
And I've had ones related to kits as well. So yeah, I'm excited, apprehensive, but yeah, just what will be, and as long as it's not, we've got the. Still getting banging on the door. We've got the hot weather on Friday and then it's going to cool down. So.
Oh, thank goodness.
Because I don't think I'd be very happy doing it in 29 degrees.
No, that's going to be a godsend, isn't it? That bit of rain that we're due on Saturday.
Yeah,
cool everything down.
I'd much rather a day of rain than a day of that heat.
So. Yeah. Awesome. Well, we'll have to catch up with you when you've finished, because I'm sure that you will. We're all going to be rooting for you. All the Hannah's a patron, by the way, everybody. So all the other patrons are going to be rooting for you. And can you put the tracker in the patron Facebook group as well, so we can all watch how you're getting on? Are you allowed to send Will you get any messages from us, or will you be able to check Facebook? We could all send you some messages on there as well. I don't know if that'll be top of your priorities to check Facebook.
I don't know if we get any messages through like the open tracker, but I don't know how much I'll be looking at Facebook. I mean, I might occasionally, but
we'll send you some nice messages. You know, like if you happen to stop and feel a bit low, then it'll be stuff there for you to look at.
That'd be lovely.
We'll definitely share the link with us. We're all very excited about you doing the 100 miles. It's such an amazing, it's just such an amazing goal and such an amazing achievement. And even if you don't make it to the 100 miles, it's such a, you will have done super well, whatever you've done. If you get past 50, it will be the longest you've ever run in your life. So it'll be something to be happy about.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I say running in the loosest sense of the word, there's not going to be much running.
Yeah, but stumbling, thumping, crying. Oh, well, we've got some really nice comments. Andrea Fluffkitten has said hello, and Kat Roberts as well. Antonio Cardinelli says hello. Conleth has just joined as well, and Andrea also says there are lots of nice little spots to sleep on the Pennine Way. She's walked it, but she's never tried running that far. So so everyone's sending a lot of luck to you for this amazing event. Are there any other is there any final tips that you would just say to anybody else in your position, like mum of two, one kid's a bit challenging, even more so than normal, any other mums and dads out there, let's not be sexist, any other tips for training for ultras, 50 and 100 miles, that you just want to leave us with, like the biggest thing you can think of?
With me, it's trying to fit running in when I can. So any little opportunity, you try and get out there or do cross training as well. Just if you're stuck in the house with them, you can do something. And also, I suppose, especially like the situation we're in, like looking out for each other. Do you know what I mean? I think you get a lot of failed marriages in these situations because of the stress. Try and like look out for each other and try not to get too grumpy with each other when you're tired or you're stressed.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's hard enough with a normal kid, isn't it? So I can imagine that you are reaching sainthood as we speak.
Oh, well. No, definitely not. I have my fair share of shouting. So.
It's to be expected, I think. It sounds really like a difficult situation, but hopefully the special school will be wonderful and you'll get even more running done.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
And then I'll have to look to the future and see what else I've got planned.
Yeah, next. A full spine race, perhaps.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
A, I've got to decide how I feel after doing the Challenger.
Yeah.
And B, I think I might have to wait a few years until hopefully things are a bit more settled. I think rushing in to do it next year, because if I'd have known the position we'd be in this year, I wouldn't have actually entered.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. It's been so hard.
Yeah.
I'd realise she'd still be out of school. So, yeah, I think I'll wait until we've got a more settled
lifestyle.
I know I'll have more time.
Oh, well, I think you are and you have been doing amazingly, just even to sign up for something like this. So many people just with normal lives, with no kids, would have problems training for this. So, yeah, I think it's you've been doing amazingly. And I can't wait to watch you on the tracker on Saturday.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing all your training and your training tips and fitting in tips with us. It's been really lovely to have you on the show, and I will leave you to your children now for a lovely evening of pizza.
someone is still banging on the door.
Yeah, she's done really well. She's done a whole 40 minutes, so that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Getting rattled and everything. So.
Well, that just shows that you aren't lying about being a mum.
Yes, exactly. So the husband's at work, so to sort of amuse them.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's killed each other, so that's good.
Yeah, well, you don't know. You haven't looked past that door yet, have you? Could be what all the banging's about.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you have a good evening, Hannah, and we will watch you on Saturday and hopefully catch up with you as well after the race.
Brilliant. All right, take care, Claire.
See you. Thanks. Good luck.
Bye.
Make a difference. Relish a great work-life balance. Enjoy generous benefits and competitive pay. Go home each night feeling fulfilled by your work. Work for an employer of choice. Work for Blue Ridge Hospice. We're always looking to hire compassionate RNs, CNAs, or anyone interested in office or thrift shop work. We've been your not-for-profit community hospice since 1981. Visit our website for more information or to apply today at blueridgehospice.org. That's blueridgehospice.org. Blue Ridge Hospice is an equal opportunity employer.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.